Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Reaction Time. So we've got a great clip to react to today, and reacting with me in the studio is our very own Sheikh Muzaffar Haider. Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. We have a very interesting clip today from Imam Khamenei. It's called, I think it's All Benefits in Three Traits. Let's go ahead and take a quick look.
Okay. I love that opening.
I do.
الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين عن الصادق جعفر بن محمد عن أبيه عن آبائه عليهم السلام أن أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام قال جمع الخير كله في ثلاث خصال.
So here, if we pause really quick, what's interesting, if we pause really quick, what we find is that he's actually reading from books of tradition. Mm-hmm. So he just talked about the people who have related the tradition, right? Where he says, قال Imam Sadiq alayhi salam from his ancestors, his grandfathers. And now he's going to very quickly talk about the actual tradition itself.
Okay. چیز رو اگر بتوان تأمین کرد همه خیرات مستقیم و غیر مستقیم در اینها وارد و داخلند. النظر و السکوت و الکلام، یکی نظر، نگریستن، دوم سکوت، سوم کلام. فکل نظر لیس فیه اعتبار فهو سهو. فرمود هر نگاه کردنی که در آن عبرت گرفتن نباشد، اعتبار نباشد، عبرت گرفتن نباشد، این سهو است، هیچ فایده ای نداره. و کل سکوت لیس فیه فکرتون فهو غفلتون. سکوت هم جزء کارهای متعارف و رفتار انسانه. هر سکوتی که در اون فکری نیست، این غفلت است. و کل کلام لیس فیه ذکر فهو لغو. می‌فرماید هر کلامی که در آن ذکر نیست، یاد نیست، توجه نیست، حالا یا به طور مطلق یا توجه الله، این کلام لغو است. فطوبى لمن کان نظره عبرا و سکوته فکرا یا فکرا و کلامه ذکرا. مگر انسانی که این سه خصوصیت دارد و بکا علی خطیئته، بر گناهان خود، خطاهای خود بگرید، یعنی این نتیجه همین توجهات از ها. وقتی ما وقتی ساکتیم فکر میکنیم، وقتی حرف میزنیم تذکر در اون هست، وقتی نگاه میکنیم با سنجش، اون وقت یکی از چیزهایی که مورد نگاه ماست خود ما و رفتارهای خودمون هستیم، خطاهای خودمون رو پیدا میکنیم. مشکل ما اینه که اشتباهات خودمون، خطاهای خودمون رو نمیفهمیم، نمیبینیم. وقتی فهمیدیم اون وقت عظمت کار رو مشاهده میکنیم. اگر اهل دل باشیم گریه میکنیم بر خطاهای خودمون. و بکا علی خطیئته و امن الناس و شره. صفحه 80.
Sheikh Muzaffar, so what a beautiful clip from Imam Khamenei here talking about this akhlaqi aspect, which he took from the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt and then he espoused and explained it. I just wanted to ask you, for example, instead of starting from the beginning, I'll start from the end. He talked about one of the things which was realizing our mistakes and realizing our errors and the importance of kind of this reflection within oneself to see what have I done wrong, what do I do wrong, if you would like to comment on that.
Yeah, no, look, I haven't actually seen this video before. I mean, right. It's a reaction show, so I haven't seen these. It the impact of rahbar saying these things is just, you might have just, you know, a WhatsApp group just forwards it to you, or you might just get it somewhere. But when you hear rahbar himself saying it, because, and that too, in a crowd of scholars, he's actually teaching like a whole hall full of scholars, you can trust that this is a message, inshallah, from the Ahlul Bayt themselves.
Yes.
And it's reached us through that, the most pure kind of line of those who have that knowledge.
Right.
So the impact is just that much greater. Realizing our mistakes.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I see, we live in a world, and this is where my question was coming from, is we live in a world where we're so busy with work and studies and then social media, video games, I don't know, sports, television, internet. You know, do people really have time to stop and think, well, you know, maybe I committed oppression against somebody. Yeah. Maybe I was angry against my kid. Maybe I disrespected a coworker. Maybe I hurt somebody's feelings. So this importance of reflecting and kind of seeing if we're making mistakes or committing sins.
Yeah, I mean, according to most of the teachers in the Hausa, actually, you're supposed to set aside some time in the day to self-reflect.
Right.
And this is an additional thing. We're not talking about salah here. We're not talking about those things that you should be doing anyway. Yes. We're talking about something additional that we're supposed to be doing, right, which is that, you know, muhasaba, that introspection. We're supposed to be taking into account all the times we made mistakes, we, God forbid, committed sins,
right,
and those places where we did something where we could have done something better.
Exactly.
This self-reflection, every day, is supposed to help us. Now, as you said, people are so busy. When are you supposed to find time to do that?
Right.
One tip, just an idea that I have,
yeah,
is
sure,
why don't you do it during an activity that you'd usually do anyway?
Right.
For example, brushing your teeth.
Right.
Everybody's going to be brushing their teeth at the end of the day, and if you're not, you should be. It's sunnah. It's the sunnah of the Prophet, right? But while you're brushing your teeth, you're looking in the mirror and stuff, and you know, why don't you just think about those things? That will be an amal for you, a good deed for you.
Yes. Yes. Alhamdulillah. Exactly. If I bring up another point, right, from in here, so he talked about sight. And then he put a limitation upon sight. He talked about speech, putting the limitation of silence upon speech. And then the third one, I believe, silence and speech. And not just limitation of silence, but also dhikr, right? I mean, if you'd like to comment on this aspect of speaking, this small piece of flesh in our mouth, which...
Let's take it step by step. Let's talk about the first one, right? So these three traits, if you can acquire them, you've acquired all blessings, right, inshallah.
Right.
Seeing, you're not supposed to see that which has no benefit for you.
Exactly.
And when Rahbar said that, honestly, it made me feel really sad.
Right.
Because, like, if I'm being really honest, how much time do we spend just looking at rubbish?
Rubbish,
like,
garbage,
just
trash.
Just complete garbage. I do it myself, so I can't be a hypocrite about it, but we, like, this is something we need to get over. Scrolling, funny video, I mean, we're just wasting our time away, and it really is not even, let's say it's not even a sin, it's just, you've just wasted your time. You haven't built yourself in any way. In that sense, it's wastage, and it is a sin, in like a spiritual sense, you've completely wasted that time away. And then the second one, silence. I don't know.
If I can stop on the sight aspect, right? I really think that the brothers and sisters across the world, they need to understand that there are forces which are forces which work for evil. Mm. Right? Now, whether they know it directly, they're working for evil, or indirectly, is another discussion. But their actions, for example, the promotion of haram things that people might get, you know, stuck into, okay? These kind of videos and films and whatever, this is being pushed by an evil agenda. Now, sure, these guys are making money. This industry, specifically what I'm talking about, is a millions and millions of dollar industry. They make a lot of money off of the exploitation of women. This is what it's based upon. Okay, now, so what happens is, for sight, these forces in the background, they know that if I destroy the person via his sight, Sometimes I think these guys read our traditions more than we do.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
There's a hadith, I believe it says that the eyes are the gateway to the heart. So yes. If you protect the eyes, you protect the heart.
And then the haram glaze, the haram glaze, right?
Gaze.
Excuse me. The haram gaze is because we have like four languages in our brain, so it gets difficult sometimes. So the haram gaze is a poisoned arrow from shaitan, right? Also in the traditions. Yeah. So
Prophet Jesus, sorry, you just reminded me. Yeah, Prophet Jesus, he said that I would sooner pluck out my own eyes than glance once at something which is haram for me to glance at.
Yeah. So it's very important for, subhanAllah, for the brothers and sisters to know to protect the eyesight. And again, here again.
But Sayyid, how are you supposed to protect your eyesight? Everywhere you go, there's a billboard, there's yeah. You know, everywhere you look, there's something pretty, there's something there. You're just walking like this, you end up bumping into a lamppost.
Right.
And then when you want to distract yourself, you open up your phone, you're like, okay, I don't want to look around here. And your phone is
probably more dangerous.
It's difficult. It's difficult. How are we supposed to give young brothers and sisters out there hope in this kind of an environment?
You know, it's a difficult question. It's I'll wait for your answer as well, right? I think we have to protect ourselves. The first step is to be conscious that this is happening. A lot of us are walking around, looking left and right, looking at the phone. And we've become desensitized, you know, to, for example, somebody walking in the street wearing a pair of shorts. Mm. Right? It's completely normal. Wait a minute. Perhaps it's not normal. We have become so desensitized, so somebody is walking around wearing a tank top.
Mm. It's completely normal in the West.
And it's completely normal.
When you, like, now we're in Iran, so we're a little bit, like, disconnected from that, our previous lives back in the West and stuff. But, man, it was normal, think about it, normal to go to the public swimming pool where there are men and women in the same swimming pool, and this is completely normal for even Muslim families out there.
Yes.
It's, at least they're perceiving it as normal. It ain't normal, guys. It's going against the fitrah of human beings,
you know, one of the things that eventually is going to have to be discussed on a very public level is this concept of migration, right? Mm. Is if living in these countries has become so dangerous to our spiritual well-being and the spiritual well-being of our children and our generations to come, then, I mean, perhaps we need to do something to save ourselves from such environment. Let's go ahead and talk about the second one, though.
Yeah, just one more point, though, you've opened up the discussion now.
I didn't want to.
because I'm aware of that we're running out of time and stuff. But they say in the West, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Yes, interesting.
Right?
Yes.
If you can't see it, you won't be thinking about it.
Yeah.
But the opposite was also true. Out of mind, out of sight. Did I do it backwards? Whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You need to keep both under control. Keep it out of your mind and keep it out of your sight.
Right. Ahsant. Very good. So he talked about silence and speech. Because we are running out of time, let's combine both of them. Again, dealing with the tongue and speaking and this aspect of it. One was silence, right? He said, which was think before you speak, which is the result of silence. And the other one was when you do speak, your speaking should be the dhikr, the remembrance and the focus upon Allah, if you can comment on that.
Yeah, one point about the speech. If Allah is not in your speech, then that speech is essentially wasted. Why did you even say it? There's a hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He said, only break the silence when what you're about to say is more beautiful than the silence itself.
Right. MashaAllah. That's so we should react to that. That's very beautiful.
So the thing here to remember is you need to bring Allah into your speech.
Right.
Now, how do you do that? Does that mean like every other word that you say, you're going to say Allah in it?
Right.
Not necessarily. It means that you, when you speak, you say something wise. Or you say it in order to acquire more knowledge. Or you say it for a sensible purpose.
Yes.
Another quick tip is to use the words which Islam and the Quran have given us.
Yes.
Muslims, once they reach a certain point, and you will have experienced this or you know about it, Sayyid, that we don't really say thank you anymore. We say Jazakallah.
Yeah, Jazakallah.
We don't say wow, although we say wow as well, but we usually say Subhanallah.
It's something I've specifically taught my kids. If you see some beautiful, for example, a bird, instead of saying, just say Subhanallah.
Say Subhanallah, Ahsantum. I mean, yeah, and we don't say hello. Hello, wow. They don't mean anything. They actually are fulul. They don't have any meaning whatsoever. Right, wow. Right. It's just the noise that you're making with your mouth. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Yes. You see something good in somebody, MashaAllah. You're talking about the future, InshaAllah. Now, for youths out there, sometimes it can be a little bit, I'm going to come across as too pretentious.
Yeah, too religious. Too religious. All this guy says is MashaAllah, MashaAllah.
So how do you get across that? Like, how do you get over that? Yeah. You don't want to come across as pretentious and like I'm trying to present myself as religious.
Right.
I remember back in the day when I wanted to start saying these words, but I was afraid that people around me would think, who does he think he is? Yeah. So I started saying it in a jokey manner. You know,
interesting.
In a funny voice. I saw something good, I'd be like, MashaAllah, you know? You know, in a funny kind of voice, like pretending to be an old man kind of thing. I wanted to say it. Maybe that's one way you could go about it.
And but just to add, for example, I think with parents should inculcate this in their children when they're young, right? So what that does is when they do reach this phase where some of their friends aren't using these words, to them it's so natural to say these things that it doesn't bother them that anybody else is or isn't saying these things, right? On that level as well, parents should really focus and pay attention. Interesting thing that, you know, we can talk about in some other program one day is the effect that these words have, right? So words are sound waves, okay? So sound waves are, you know, I mean, just kind of just like what I'm doing, right? It has an effect upon your heart. It has an effect upon your soul. So words that are divine words, such as the Holy Quran, right? The recitation, it says, for example, it says that if your child is a little bit unruly and wild, to recite the azan aloud by your child and it will calm him down. Why? These words, these sound waves, the manner that they're in, they create effects within human beings, okay? So divine words create these effects. Let's reverse it. Anti-divine words, or let's say anti-divine music, it has the opposite effect. So you will see, for example, certain groups of people who listen to certain type of music, it influences their behavior, it influences their speech, it influences their thoughts, right? And so we should be very careful, again, with what we're saying and what we're listening to. Go ahead, yeah.
No, just one verse. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Surely in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. In all three of these traits, you can find the remembrance of Allah is a consistent theme. So whether you're speaking, whether you're silent, and what you're looking at, it all is dependent on whether you are being God conscious and whether you're remembering Allah.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Dear friends, that's all the time we have. We'll see you next time on Reaction Time.